my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 376, as this week we bring you the conclusion of NWA Clash of Champions 9. How are you people? I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on extended medical leave. He is still recovering from surgery. Back as a guest host is Sarah Knight, former contributor over at pwtorch.com. Sarah, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1989, and watch a match with two words, five letters, I quit?
Are you sure it's 1989? I thought it was 1991.
Clash of Champions 9, 1989.
Oh, okay. The internet lied to me.
It happens. It happens from time to time.
I'm ready to be 10 again, Pat. Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, well, there's no good comment I can make for that. Let's see. Ratings, okay, so our rankings.
Have responsibilities as a 10-year-old. This is great.
Yes.
Just get, like, dolls and Legos and cartoons.
I was 19. The less said about that, the better. okay, so last week, of course, we had Shane Shadows doing the first part of this. And thanks to Shane, we just absolutely shot back up the rankings in Canada to the number 90 wrestling podcast in Canada last week. So thank you very much, Canadians. Also, did big in India. Shane will be thrilled. I'll tell Shane he'll be thrilled that we're back up the charts in India. And thanks to each and every one of you, no matter where you live, who are downloading and listening to this show and joining us and watching along this week, right? I know that Sarah likes watching along on weeks when she's not guest hosting.
Sure, Pat.
Yeah, Sarah also mentioned how it's Survivor Series Sunday, and Sarah also mentioned how excited and happy she was to be spending Thanksgiving with her family. So there we go.
Well, Pat, we will have two Thanksgivings this year. Yes.
There are two Americas, and at Sarah's family, there's two Thanksgivings.
In the span of 2 days, I get to cook, I think, 33 pounds of turkey. So, yeah.
All right.
It'll be magical.
Ah, it's that most Republican of holidays, Thanksgiving. Yes. All right.
Wait, how is that? It's a potluck, Pat. People each have to bring something.
It's dedicated to food and football and men sitting around watching football.
All right. Don't tell my father that. He's
and women and some and sometimes women cook too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yeah. But the less said about that, the better. We're getting back to this. So let's go to the culture part of the show. This is where we talk about what was going on November 15th, 1989, which was a Wednesday. So Sarah, your New York Times bestsellers on this date. In fiction, it was The Dark Half by Stephen King, second week at number one.
I actually read that book.
There you go.
And then I saw the movie.
Wow. Which was better?
I don't know.
I'm not a Stephen King person, so.
I was 10, Pat. 10.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you should have been reading that book when you were 10, but. Mm-hmm. On the nonfiction charts, the number one book in the country, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten by Robert Fulghum. And it's 10th week at number one. And yeah, I'm tired
of
it.
I think I read most of that book, too.
Hey, well, you're a literary lady. That's one of the reasons we have you on. All right. The number one song on the Billboard charts in the United States on this date, When I See You Smile by Bad English. It's first and, I believe, only week at number one.
I am familiar with that song, Pat. I'm pretty sure it's on my iTunes.
Well, there you go.
Right along with, oh my God, what was that song? Reminiscing
by the Little River Band. I will not hear any Little River Band slander on this podcast. Thank you. Well, Bad English is apparently, I learned this, Bad English is a super group made up of former members of Journey and former members of The Babies, another, including the one band member who was in both bands. So,
okay.
Now you know. The top movie in the country, November 15th, 1989, for the fifth
consecutive
week.
Tell me
if it was
a Back to the Future movie.
I wish I could. It was for the fifth week at number one, Look Who's Talking, starring Kirstie Alley and John Travolta with Bruce Willis.
Oh, God, that was a terrible, terrible time for babies talking in movies, which was weird.
No, the bad part was they had sequels, too. So
that was well, yeah, there was that. And then there would be the period in time where babies talked in commercials.
Yeah, and then
that was 21 years later. So
and they made movies about cartoon babies acting like adults, and it's not good either.
Yeah.
Top news story, November 15th, 1989. Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev says that the West should not gloat about the defeat of communism or try to export capitalism. I would like for everyone to know that I've been gloating about the defeat of communism for 32 years now, and I have no intention of stopping. So.
Okay, well, it's still going strong in Cuba. But.
And Michigan, but that's another story.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Actually, what's big now is totalitarianism, fascism, and corporate welfare. That seems to be big now.
Yeah.
Okay. In the NBA, the Detroit Pistons beat the Milwaukee Bucks 106-79. Joe Dumars had 22 for the Pistons. Ricky Pierce had 16 to lead the Bucks. Both teams are 5-3. On Monday Night Football, if you watch that, the Houston Oilers upset the Cincinnati Bengals 26-24 in Houston. Tony Zendejas.
All right, lady question, Pat. Do the Houston Oilers still exist?
The Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee and became the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, that's why I haven't heard of them in like the past 10 years.
Okay, that's a good question, though. I mean, that's a legitimately valid question.
Either that or they were really terrible and they haven't won any games.
Well, they were really terrible, which is one of the reasons they moved to Nashville and became the Tennessee Titans.
Also, didn't Dallas have the Dallas Cowboys? Why did they need a second football team?
Well, I mean, that's on a different side of the state.
Whatever. It's one state.
New York has two football teams. Can't Texas have two teams? Yes, New York City has two football teams, yes.
Is one of them the Jets?
Yes. Well, you're right. That shouldn't count. I agree.
That's why they have a second team.
Yes. So, yeah, but even though the Houston team moved to Nashville, now there's another Houston team called the Houston Texans. I know that's, yeah.
That makes an enormous amount of sense.
Well, anyway, on Thanksgiving Day,
I had no right now because that works well in radio.
On Thanksgiving Day, the Dallas Cowboys will be hosting a Thanksgiving Day game during America's Supper, just like they always do. So there's a tie in there somewhere.
I'm pretty sure the Lions will be losing to someone that day too.
They'll be losing to the Bears. That will be noon on the noon to 12:30 on the East Coast.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. The Lions do play first, and then the Cowboys. It's good that you know these things. I don't know why it's good, but
we have traditions, Pat.
That's right. There are traditions.
We have to watch the Lions lose on Thanksgiving.
And you have to watch about 5 minutes of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade before you just give up and turn off the set.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. See? America.
That's great. Yeah.
Also, Eugene Seal recovered a fumble in the end zone for the Oilers. No, I don't remember who Eugene Seal was either.
But I don't remember who he was either. So that makes two of us.
Perfect. Okay.
Somewhere out there, Eugene Seal is shaking his fist at the recording of a podcast.
Well, he and Eugene Croft are probably commiserating about how they're forgotten.
Okay. I don't know.
Seal and Croft.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. All right. Let's go on then. We're at 47 minutes and 16 seconds. We got through the first four matches, and we're in the commercial break. I have a black screen. Sarah?
I also have a black screen.
Well, this is going to work out fantastic. Let's see. All right, take a break and we'll plug the patron and come back. Okay, so we're on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. You know this by now, unless you're one of the people who's on Patreon, because those people on Patreon get to skip through the commercials because we don't put any commercials in the version we upload to Patreon, Sarah.
Oh, okay. Those people are special.
Those people are special, yes, and you can be one of them. All of those people who subscribe to Patreon, no matter what tier they're on, they get every episode of this show, and there are 376 episodes of this show.
Pat, are you reading Manscaped commercials?
No, we're not doing that at the moment, although if they pay us again, I'll be glad to go back to reading Manscaped commercials. I'm okay with that. And
do
Blue
you read
Chew.
Them as enthusiastically as Jim Cornette does?
I don't think I can. I think we did a great job on Blue Chew commercials. So you would think that they'd want us back for that. We're not selling the mushroom powder either. I don't know why not. But anyway, any of those commercials, any ads, we take those out of the podcast just for you, the patrons. Plus, for those of you patrons who are on the Black Scorpion tier, we do special bonus episodes and special bonus messages just for you. As a matter of fact, Sarah and I did one recently. It was Primetime Wrestling from, I want to say, 1986.
Oh,
yes, and with a main
poor
event.
Bobby Heenan and his little weasel doll.
Yes, with Ray Rougeau against Bret Hart was the featured bout on that one.
And Bret Hart spent a lot of time not being in that match.
Yep.
Prancing around doing nothing.
That's true. That's what heels did in that era. They chickened out. We'll try to find something special for Sarah and I to do on Patreon this week. I think plus we should have up the one that I did with Shane Shadows, where we went through and did a watch along of the first episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And that was kind of special, actually. You don't get to see Bobby Fulton against Ivan Koloff every day, especially now that Ivan's dead.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is Bobby Fulton dead too?
No, he's recovering from a procedure, but he is not dead.
Okay, so that was Tommy Rogers.
Yeah, I'm afraid it was Tommy Rogers.
Yeah. Half of their tag team is like gone.
I know. I'll try to find something special for you to watch, Sarah. Let's see. Because there's a lot of awful wrestling that we can cover.
It has to be awful, does it?
Well, do you have any recommendations?
No, I don't, Pat.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with whatever you go with.
There you go, folks. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Plus, you get every episode that Jim ever did, and that Jim and I did together, and every episode that Sarah was on. And I think that's wonderful. I think Sarah explaining the main event of SummerSlam 88 was probably one of the highlights of our listeners' experience with Wayback Playback. So you should definitely be a part of that. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. We look forward to seeing you over there, and thank you for your patronage. Okay, we're back. Like I said, 47 minutes and 16 seconds into the show. All right, so if you're ready, Sarah's ready, I'm ready. We have a black screen.
So God, I hope my peacock isn't going to play a commercial.
That would be awkward, yes. But we're all going to hit play. You'll mention it if there's a commercial, and we will all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Oh, and I guess I should point out that on the Peacock, apparently the new Psych movie, Psych 3, This Is Gus, is up now. So. I know you're excited about that. Now, that ramp, there we go. Like I said, this is the finest.
This ramp is awkward.
No, like I said, this is the finest discotheque in all of Troy, New York. Plus, it looked really cool with Michael Hayes and the Freebirds going down it. There we go.
Dear God.
Theodore R. Long proudly presents The Skyscrapers because they're tall.
He wasn't the manager, so he couldn't put together a random tag team with people.
He was a manager.
Well, no, he wasn't the general manager.
He was not the general manager, no.
Yeah, did you watch Raw last Monday?
On purpose?
Either way.
I don't think I did.
Oh, dear God. It was
excruciating.
Teddy Long would have been really proud of the random tag match.
They love random tag matches on Raw for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Meanwhile, AEW has this crazy idea where they tell you in advance all the matches that are supposed to be on the show.
I know. And sometimes they're terrible matches, but, you know.
But, yeah, but you can't say, oh, my God,
I forgot to record Rampage last Friday, and I looked at the match listing and went, okay, that's okay.
Yeah, you know, no, not too bad. Right. All right, so, yeah, the Steiners.
Oh, my God, Scott Steiner was so young.
And skinny, yes. The Steiners used to come to the ring to Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses in this era. They hadn't come up with the
WCW version of Welcome to the Jungle?
No, the actual song. They were using actual songs. I know. I'm as surprised as you were.
I feel like WWE replaced the music here because this doesn't sound like Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, they've replaced a lot of music on this show. Yeah, Rick Steiner's coming in through the crowd. Apparently, he's a Pepsi vendor for this. He's working.
I don't understand why Rick Steiner is wearing a hat over wrestling earpieces.
Wrestling headgear. Yeah, I guess he's working part time to make ends meet. You know.
That is quite the mullet there.
Yes, this was the year of the mullet. Well, actually, most of the 80s was the year of the mullet. So.
Yeah. Rick Steiner has lost his hat, sadly.
All right. Oh, here you go, Gary Capetta.
Rick Steiner is crazy.
Yes, that's the gimmick. Yeah.
Despite the fact that he's in the ring with Sid.
Yeah, Danny Spivey and Sid are together, yes.
Danny Spivey stuck his finger in an electrical outlet before he came out today.
Well, you know, you want to get that hair just right.
I wonder how much hairspray that took to get that up there.
That
didn't happen naturally.
Or gel. Well, it could be gel. Now, this is the 80s we're talking about.
Definitely hairspray.
I don't know. Late 80s, people use gel.
That's hairspray, though, Pat. I'm just telling you.
Tommy Young is your referee.
Did Rick Steiner just punch Teddy Long?
I think he was trying to rip his head or something. He took his hat off.
Okay.
He took his hat off so the kids could chant Peanut Head at Teddy Long.
This feels strange.
Okay, well, there you go. There we go. He's got his beret back. All right, so here we are. Steiners, skyscrapers, skyscrapers, Steiners. Okay. So, yes, as we discussed, the Steiners at this point have won back the, they've won the NWA World Tag Team Championships, but the match has not aired yet. That will air in a few days. So, because WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jim Cornette will be on the 1-900 Wrestling Hotline after the end of the show.
I'm sure that was a lot of fun for people.
Yeah, probably option one, yes. There we go. All right, Rick Steiner's got him. He's going to try to hit the German suplex on. There he goes. Oh, Danny Spivey.
Poor big tall man.
Danny Spivey had one great match in his career, and we haven't done that show yet. It's Wrestle War 91. Up and over goes Danny Spivey.
Who did he wrestle on that?
Him and Lex Luger, believe it or not.
Okay, I am surprised that was a good match then.
Oh, you'll have to watch it, but yeah, it was. Well, you don't have to watch it, but yeah. All right. Okay, yeah, Rick Steiner. They don't want to get back in the ring right now against Rick Steiner. They're outside looking at the Coors Light turnbuckle.
Well, Rick Steiner is kind of crazy, so I'm not sure why anyone would actually want to get in the ring with Rick Steiner.
That's right. Yeah, Rick's a good guy.
Sure he is.
As far as I know. All right. Yep. Oh, wow.
The Steiners, like, allegedly copyright the last name Steiner so nobody else could use it in wrestling.
Well, it's a smart move if they did.
Now, isn't that why that kid is called Braun Breaker?
No, I don't think so. Well, their last name is actually Rex Steiner, R-E-C-H Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
So when Rick Steiner became a wrestler, they just called him, instead of calling him Rick Steiner, they just called him Rick Steiner.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, it's just actually, he's Rob Rex Steiner.
It's a weird name from the pre-Curtis Axel, Michael McGillicuddy era.
Yeah. There's absolutely no good reason why they call him Braun Breaker, except they don't want to use this. They just don't want to call him Steiner.
Yeah. Michael McGillicuddy, who we look back upon so fondly.
Oh, yeah, because that works so well.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with
okay,
what I...
Okay, cameraman, get off the apron, dude. WCW was not the master of not accidentally shooting the other cameraman.
Well, plus, Plus, I mean, the problem was when we'd shoot our independent shows, our cameramen would want to be on the apron, too, because they'd see the TV cameras men on the apron. Well, that's where I'm supposed to be.
All right, Pat, I was 10 when this came out. They really called Teddy Long Peanut Head?
Yep, they did.
Explain this to me.
I guess because he was going bald and his head looked like a peanut. I think that's what it was.
Did someone call him that in an interview?
Yes, I'm sure. Steiner. Okay, so I don't think they copyrighted the Steiner name. It would have been a great idea, though. Okay.
I believe, technically speaking, everyone in this match has a mullet, except the referee.
What about, Sid has a perm. See?
Yeah, but it's longer in the back than it is in the front. Technically, that is a mullet.
Well, that's more the shape of Sid's head than anything, really.
Just face it, Pat. Everyone in this match had a mullet.
Yeah. Oh, but some mullets were more mullety than others.
Yes, they were.
Wow, what was that?
If Teddy Long wasn't balding, he would probably have a mullet too.
Dan went for a drop kick on Rick Steiner. Rick Steiner didn't move. Scott Steiner didn't move, and he missed the drop kick anyway. Dan, that was not good. All right, come on. What are you doing, Dan?
Okay. He's getting them back for that awkward bump he took at the beginning of the match.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Well, you don't want to play that game with the Steiners, though. They're mean.
Did he actually just kick him in the face, or did he completely move or miss?
Okay, here we go. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get into a punching contest with the Steiners.
Dan Spivey's hairstylist really should have just been like, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm guessing he was, so. All right. So yeah, lots of interesting offense by the Skyscrapers. Actually, they just, oh jeez, they just like to powerbomb people.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're shocked. Let's see.
A lot of power slams in this match.
Yep. Oh my goodness, but the Steiners are taking charge here.
Poor Sid.
Oh yes. Frankensteiner.
Is there a random person in the ring?
I don't see any random. Somebody try to get in the ring?
No, it was a member of Doom, who apparently we were calling Doom 1 and Doom 2.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Doom 1 is Ron Simmons. Doom 2 is Butch Reed.
We couldn't just call them Ron Simmons and Butch Reed.
No, that would defeat the purpose of having them in masks.
They're like a conquistador.
Oh no! Thing. Oh no! Woman hit.
That she hit him with.
Yeah, that was like a 4-inch. Jeez.
I know, but she didn't hit him with the spiky part of the shoe. Rick, well, you can't hit a woman.
Well, you can't. Well, now, spiky, now, if she had hit him with the spiky part of the shoe, it would have hurt, see? Oh, my goodness. It's Nitron.
Who is Nitron?
The guy in the mullet. Nitron is the guy with the blonde hairdo.
Yeah, I'm aware
Nitron
of that.
Is actually Tyler Mane, better known as Big Sky.
Okay, I don't know him better as anyone.
Well, do you recognize those guys? Those guys are the Road Warriors.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so these are the four teams that are going to be in the
Star Team. This is a precursor to Raw, because, you know, if Teddy Long was general manager, he would make a new mixed tag match.
It's got an 8-man tag team match, playa.
Yep. With, like, 18 people in it.
Hey.
Whoever's already been on the show.
Everybody's already been on the show.
Oh yes they have.
There we go.
The Fabulous Freebirds are the only people from previously in the show that didn't come out.
Okay. Well, they thought, yeah, I can't imagine the Freebirds.
Oh, there is a stonewashed jean jacket there.
All right.
All right, so we left and we came back with exactly the same people.
Right. Okay, now apparently during that segment you just saw, Sid Vicious suffered a punctured lung after breaking a rib. So Sid is being rushed to a nearby medical facility. They brought in a replace. However, Teddy Long brought in a replacement Skyscraper for him. A gentleman who was working in Florida as the Master of Pain, and they changed the Master of Pain's name to Mean Mark Callis.
Because I believe I've met him before as the Undertaker, but okay.
Yes, that guy. Right. Yeah. Well, the Steiners and the Road Warriors are both good guys, and they're on the same side here.
Jim Ross looks delighted to be here.
Jim Ross looks like he's going, what on earth is that guy saying?
Yeah, I don't know what he's saying either.
Tell him, Hawk.
All right. I got to eat your lunch.
Well, he hit the line he has to hit, which is tell him, Hawk. They hurt individuals and they ruin lives. So they work for TMZ.
If I were you, I wouldn't be. My life you can save.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd stay away from Hawk while he's slobbering.
Yeah, probably. Oh my God, it's original manager.
Paul Ellering.
Without the doll.
Well, yeah, thank God.
And with cop sunglasses.
Don't mess with these guys. Thanks,
there
Paul.
There was a lot of math that didn't take us in a lot of places, Paul.
Right. Well, see, they didn't ask. That's because they didn't ask Scott Steiner to do the math. Scott Steiner had done the math. Everything would have worked out great.
We'd still be doing math.
So you got a 133 2/3% chance of getting your ass kicked. Yeah. Okay, so it's time for the U.S. title match. Back at Halloween Havoc.
Get to gingerly walk down this ramp.
Okay, if it's Pillman, he's coming out to Rocket by Def Leppard.
Oh, not on this special.
I know. I'm just saying.
Wait, did he somehow avoid walking down the stair part there? He just appeared.
That would have been smart.
This must have been before his heel turn, because he's in a much better mood coming to the ring this time.
Yeah. Pillman's probably going, okay, why is the $100,000 pyramid glowing in the background? I don't get that. Oh, look at that lady. There we go.
She has some fancy hair there.
Yes, fancy.
This is very 1991.
89.
All right, or 1989. You know what? I read the Wikipedia page wrong.
I guess so. All right, and here he is, and U.S. champion Lex Luger, who used the same generic production music he always uses.
Oh, but he's going to walk down the stairs, gingerly.
He's Lex Luger. And this is still safer than the stage they used at the end of Nitro back in 99. So.
Lex Luger slowly taking those stairs one step at a time.
They would be backstage at Nitro taking bets as to who would slip going down the stage in 99. They had a pool going. All right, so Lex Luger's wearing, I don't know what the hell that is.
On the show who doesn't have a mullet.
Luger doesn't have a mullet? No, he's got a mullet.
Doesn't look like it.
Look at the back of his hair.
Does it look like a different length than the front? Because it all looks like one length to me.
All right.
I don't know why he's dressed like a Roman gladiator, but...
Oh, I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't he be dressed like a Roman gladiator? It's like he got the Ric Flair robe, but he couldn't afford to get it all finished, so...
Yeah.
And of course, Lex Luger's the bad guy, so people are cheering for him.
No. Okay. The 13th before the start
date. So, yeah, Luger and Pillman wrestled for the U.S. title at Halloween.
We need to get some notes to Flying.
That's the rematch, yeah.
We need to get some notes to good old Flying Brian's kid there, that the mullet can be poofy.
Yes, that's true. I would think he had seen enough of his father's matches that he'd know these things.
Yeah. Yeah, get that perm in there. Put some effort into it. Talk to Griff Garrison's hairstylist. And I'm not asking for Griff Garrison to get a mullet. I'm just asking for Griff Garrison to stop looking worried. He still looks worried.
Okay. All right. So that's the woman who gets to pick up the belt. That's interesting. Okay, sit down there. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Fans are very excited.
Particularly that one with the sign.
Yep. I mean, it's more enthusiastic than some of the crowds you'd see at WCW television
shows.
Look,
they're not all wearing the same black trunks.
I know.
It's a small miracle.
The 80s were crazy.
And there is the WCW cameraman on the edge of the ring.
Of course.
Damn it, WCW.
What a great shot that is, being on the edge of the ring.
Shooting the other cameraman who's on the edge of the ring.
Yep. All right, Nick Patrick's your referee. Hi, Nick.
Well, he's not refereeing Randy Savage's match.
Nope. Well, since Randy's in WWF at this point, that would make sense.
Yeah. Is that Gordon Soley down there?
Yeah, Gordon Soley is with Jim Ross, yes.
Jim Ross is awful close to that ring.
Yes, they are. That's where they used to sit. They had the announcers sitting at ringside until Eric Bischoff came up with the idea during Nitro to move them back to the stage. Did you know that?
I think we've gone over this before, but I will be pointing it out every time still. Right. All right, Luger's got some bangs, but he doesn't quite have a mullet.
He has some long stringy hair, though.
It's more of a shag.
All right, so Luger going to work here.
And there's our WCW cameraman.
Yay! He needs to be up. Well, see, he wouldn't be able to get that shot if he wasn't standing on the apron.
I know, but they need to figure out how to get the cameraman to stop shooting the other cameraman.
I don't know.
There's a lot of running going on in this match.
Well, you also, if you're the cameraman, you can't be touching the ropes because when they run into the ropes, they would knock the cameraman off the apron.
Lex Luger got up there just to get knocked right back down.
Yes. Hey, there's the nice people at Kelly's Tavern put in an appearance.
Right. You think they got free drinks for wearing those shirts or something?
I would guess. Sure.
Either that or they got free tickets from there and they had to wear the shirts.
That would work too. Oh, man. All right.
I appreciate that someone's grandpa is in the stands just slowly sipping on his drink there.
Yeah. All right,
the camera managed to get two cameramen in that shot.
That's great. That's how you do it.
Oh,
you want the cameraman shooting all the other cameramen. So when the director is looking at it in the truck, he can see the cameraman. He can see what all the other cameramen are doing.
Uh-oh. Somebody is flipping off the wrestlers in the ring there in the crowd.
Well, that's not very nice.
Bad 17-year-old boy. Bad. Shame on you, buddy.
He's watching himself right now on Peacock. Hey, that's me. Grandkids, come here. That's me.
That's right.
32 years ago.
Oh, dear God.
There we go. Let's throw him over there. Well, congratulations, cameraman. You managed to completely miss all the action despite it coming right to you. That's a special talent.
That is. It was also really lucky that Flying Brian jumped up there and just missed Lex Luger. Yeah. And Lex didn't stop.
That's right. All right, so Gordon Soley is going through the football background of Lex Luger.
Beginning a 10 count right here, or did they not do that?
You would think so. You would think so, yes.
Just letting people wander around outside the ring.
They're kind of laissez-faire about this on WCW. It's not like they take this seriously or anything.
And then Vince Russo would come.
Oh, yes. Yes, and thanks to, and then Russo would make everything make sense.
Oh, yeah.
3 years in a sport, 3 times. And while they're plugging things, I'm going to plug that. Come back here on Thanksgiving. We're going to have our Thanksgiving Day. We're going to have the show that we air on Thanksgiving Day. What I'm saying is next week, you know, you can wait till Sunday to listen to the podcast, or you can come in on Thanksgiving Day and listen to it. Then we'll have it uploaded like we do every year. All right. And right now, leading in the poll for that is November 20th, 1995 edition of Nitro, with the first ever Sting versus Hogan match. I know, hard to believe. Oh, there we go. Back spinning.
Flying Brian has taken him out.
Yep, one kick. Someone was great. Oh, look, and Luger calls timeout, I guess. Yes. So you have the big, tough Lex Luger backing down from Brian Pillman.
Someone had a Joe Boxer shirt in the crowd there.
Also, yeah, you have to be impressed by how well developed these guys are. They have, you know, they have abs, they have pecs.
They put some effort into it.
Yep, they did put some effort into it.
Because yeah, I don't think they had to do as many house shows as WC or WWF people did. So.
Well, that's because they didn't draw as many customers as WWF did. But yeah, it's true too. Plus, I believe Luger and Sting co-owned a gym during this period. So.
No, it wasn't Ric Flair's gym that blew away in Aruba or whatever it was.
No, it's a different gym. Okay, he's got it.
There's a man sneaking back to his seat.
Oh, the arm. Oh, the hi. Oh, those are some.
Oh, there is a creepy guy in the crowd.
Just one?
Yeah, pretty much that one in the brown shirt there.
He's gonna hurt him. He moved the Coors Light turnbuckle cover.
And we got a shot of the cameraman again.
Yep.
Well, I don't really think the Coors Light turnbuckle is providing that much padding.
I would say no, it's not.
Kind of like the bicycle rack.
Yeah, well, the bicycle rack is there to protect the audience. Yes, it's better to keep the action in the inside, keep the action in the ring area. See?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, they have the those blue mats. Those blue mats help a lot.
Cowboy Bill Watts take those away.
Yes, he did, because he thought it made him look like sissies to have the blue mats out there.
Yeah, he's a mean old man.
Yes, he was.
Is Bill Watts still alive?
Yes, he is. Oh, yes.
Somehow surprising.
Well, no, you know, I mean, this is the pro wrestling business. You never know, but yeah. Yes, we've Bill Watts has been discussed at length on this podcast and on many other podcasts. You know, he got canned from WCW for bad ratings and for making some incredibly racist and anti-gay comments during the Pro Wrestling Torch annual in 1991.
I don't remember the anti-gay comments.
Well, he just used that one word for
okay.
Repeatedly. Yes. Yes, he did. Bill Watts, okay, yep, still alive. And he's just, he's 82 years old.
Oh, my God.
Living in Florida.
Lex Luger just totally put his hand in Brian's crotch there.
Well, I mean, did you hear Brian complain? So after Bill Watts got fired for this, 3 years after Bill Watts got fired for this, Vince McMahon hired him, and that didn't last very long either.
That somehow doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, Bill Watts was brought in to be the booker, and you know, they had an agreement that that Bill Watts would make all the decisions about about the matches and wrestlers and all that. And Bill Watts lasted about 6 weeks until Vince overruled him, and then he quit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know that
troll freak we are there.
Yeah, well, that's, I know you're surprised.
No, oh, yes, so surprised.
Mm-hmm. Pro wrestling is no place for business with long memories, unless you're a podcaster. And sometimes even then. Outside the ring he goes. All right.
This is a strangely long match.
I mean, they'd have long matches during the Clash. I mean, especially given that it's a TV show.
Yeah, well, there were like twice the amount of people in the last match, and it was half the time.
Right.
Which seems odd, but whatever.
It does, but they
were. Nope, they're not showing me the creepy fan again.
Well, maybe they made a. That's probably a good decision then.
Did someone just try to throw something in the ring?
Well, they did throw something in the ring. I think they were trying to throw it at Lex Luger, in which case they missed it.
Yeah, that did not effectively work.
No. Of course, they weren't encouraging people to throw stuff into the ring. During the NWO era, they liked the visual of having stuff thrown at the NWO the first time, so they kept trying to encourage it in subsequent weeks. So.
Yes, well, that thing that was thrown in the ring is still in the ring.
It looks like a wadded-up piece of paper.
The cameraman did not kick it out, despite the fact that he has been in the last two shots.
Yeah.
Oh, but still in the ring.
Well, it's Nick Patrick's job. Only two. And Pillman almost became U.S.
Surprisingly, Nick Patrick does not have a mullet.
Well, he's a referee. Why would a referee
need a mullet? He had one in, like, end times WCW.
That's different. Oh, you shouldn't have counted that. You shouldn't count that. Luger's arm's under the rope. You shouldn't even count that. Yeah.
Ooh. And we got a shot of the cameraman.
Of course we do. Yeah. Well, at least we don't have the two cameraman shot.
Give him a little bit of time, Pat.
Okay, I will. All right. Yep. And nope. Oh!
There's a lot of running in this match. Which, considering how many times the running did not work out for the two of them before, you would think that they would go to a different strategy.
Well, it's a small ring, so they don't have that far to run. Looks like a 16 by 16. And he's going up. He's going up. Oh, no. Nick Patrick got too close to Lex Luger.
The referee.
And Luger, yes. And Nick goes down.
And he is dead, too.
Despite the fact that Nick Patrick is possibly the biggest guy in the match, he got knocked out.
Men do not know how to wake people up, do they?
Why do you say that?
None of those things. Like, if you woke me up that way.
I would not wake you up that way.
Does Brian Pillman knows the ref is down and now he's going to try to pin Lex Luger like 84 times?
Well, this is WCW where all the good guys have to act completely dumb, which explains Sting.
I don't think anything can explain Sting.
Oh, look, Lex has a chair. And he took Gary Capetta's chair. That's just mean.
Poor Gary Capetta. Wow.
You get your chair back.
Brian Pillman has a concussion now. Oh, look, Nick Patrick is recovered.
He is magically recovered. Now, why doesn't Jim Ross say, hey, Nick, he used a chair? He's close enough. Well, doesn't matter. And Lex Luger wins. People are so upset in this crowd.
The bell has not rung here. What the hell?
I thought it rang. Anyway, Gary Capetta announced.
Going to hit him with the chair again?
Well, why not?
He's going to be disqualified.
No, he's going to, I don't know what he's going to do with that chair. Oh, now he's going to get fined.
Isn't that a ref? Is that like pushing the ref?
Fines and suspensions, yes. Fines and suspensions. Oh, my goodness.
He sort of hit Brian Pillman with a chair.
Well, when you do that, you're hitting the ring next to Brian Pillman, so you don't.
He just hit Brian Pillman on the butt.
Oh, that's true. Oh my goodness, those devastating shots.
Yeah.
On the gluteus maximus, yes.
Yeah.
And the torture rack. Brian Pillman needs help.
How will Brian Pillman survive that with the butt shots?
I don't know.
Oh, Sting.
Sting is here. Sting's not going to stand for that.
Sting was not dressed to wrestle, by the way. Why is Sting wearing dress pants?
He just turned his back. He was there to accept the award for most popular wrestler.
Who hit somebody with a chair.
Yeah. And Sting is going to fight Luger at Starrcade.
Has Sting been avoiding Luger or something?
No. I don't think so.
Did he just call him a snothead?
An arrogant snothead.
Dear Lord.
They're calling each other snothead. That's just not acceptable.
That was pretty easy for him to rip that shirt off.
Well, yeah. He's a professional. Don't try this at home.
And the cameraman is still.
Let's go to the long tracking shot. That was the place to go to the long tracking shot where you pull away from them. Yeah. All right. Come on. Luger's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can go after him.
Luger just hit some guy with a chair. He's now afraid of man in dress pants.
Exactly.
This makes no sense.
Oh.
Who's this random executive person?
That's Doug Dillinger. He's the head of security for WCW. That's pretty much his job. He stood around and, you know, had to break things up every so often. Supposedly he's there to stop fans from jumping the railing, although I don't think he ever actually...
Well, he did not stop fans from throwing the thing in the ring there.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Sting is following Lex out of the ring.
He's chasing Lex Luger.
Is he going to chase him up the stairs?
Of course. Well, that'd be something to see, actually. That'd be something to watch.
You would remember that spot.
Yeah,
I think I
would have. Let's take a look at that again.
Sting get his shirt.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Ah, look at that shirt. Wow, that's pretty good. That might be the most impressive thing Sting did.
You know, I'm sure Cody Rhodes is watching this somewhere, and we're about to see that shirt spot again.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Cody's a big fan. Hi, Cody.
Cody's got the Stinger haircut now, except for the rat tail. So.
All right, so we're about to see the I Quit match. This is a big one.
He could get like hair extensions and get that braided in though.
It's time, folks.
Just throwing that idea out there. Also, somebody could teach Griff Garrison how to not look worried.
Yes. Sarah's the head of the Griff Garrison fan club.
I know, clearly.
All right, here we go. Yeah. There you go.
for the thousands of people who have come up to see
Joe Boy.
Wrestling Alliance live and in color.
I did not shoot this with a boom mic since Ric Flair has the small pastor's mic on his tie.
Right.
I don't know who made this set. This is
somebody's teenage kid was in there. I don't know. I don't get that either.
I'm not sure there was a teenager. That looks like the work of a 7-year-old, but okay.
It looks like Jerry Sags and Brian Knobs of the Nasty Boys were in there with some Krylon, and they.
You make the
You can turn that down, Sarah.
I was trying to understand animal earlier or hawk.
They have captioning, you know.
I don't know. I have the free version of the peacock, so who knows?
I'm pretty sure they still have captioning.
Think about it. National television.
I quit.
Well, I don't get like this character. I'm the world champion.
So this is a non-title I quit match.
So if this was 1989, then Terry Funk was only 45.
You got it.
Ric Flair was only 40 when this happened.
I know. They're very young and spry.
Ric Flair was younger than me now. Oh, dear God.
Well, there you go.
Wait, Terry Funk was going to retire at the age of 45?
This is after he had already retired at the age of 36.
Jesus. So is this Terry Funk's normal music, or is this
No, it's... This is not what he came out to. He came out to Once Upon a Time. He came out to Man with a Harmonica from Once Upon a Time in the West.
Okay.
It's a movie.
So is this WWE replacement music?
This is the WWE replacement music.
Okay.
Look up.
Because I watched this earlier and I went, really? That was Terry Funk's theme music? No. This doesn't seem right.
A lot of harmonica in Terry Funk's theme music.
Terry Funk gingerly walking down those stairs.
Well, I mean, come on, the man's 45 years old. Yes, and he is accompanied to the he is not accompanied to the ring by the Parliament Funkadelic. No, that's Gary Hart and I guess other cowboys who happen to be wandering through.
Terry Funk is healing it up though.
Oh yeah. That's an outfit.
Not quite the Michael Hayes hair flip though.
You know, I'm wondering what to wear in a no disqualification I quit match, I usually think to myself, a poncho would be perfect.
A leather poncho. A red leather poncho.
And then after the match, he and Gary Hart can go out to Chewy's.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You missed the first hour interview where Gary Hart came out in a sweater, so.
That seems very on brand for Gary Hart.
Yeah, you have to go back and watch that first hour again, yeah.
Yeah, this is a weird 1980s checkerboard here.
Well, they were trying to trick NASCAR fans into watching the show.
I know, I remember the corrugated steel.
Okay, this is the actual music they used for Flair.
But there is some weird after music after the entrance transpires.
Oh, okay. Well, this is fanfare to a common man, and then they switch to 2001, sort of, and yeah. I don't know why they needed to add stuff to it.
Let's watch Ric Flair gingerly walk down these stairs.
Those stairs are a hazard, okay? I don't blame him.
You made it down quicker than Lex Luger, though.
You know, he was chivalrous. He did not make the women walk down those stairs with him. He's like, no, ladies, you're safer down here.
One of his women has some audacious hair in there.
Yep. Well, they're not. They're
it's
not.
Actually the one in front with the. Really
they're not his hair. Women. They're rented.
Don't tell the people that, Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Breaking the illusion. Yeah. The one in the wedding dress there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Hey. Rick would maintain that his wife was more beautiful than any of the women he came to the ring with.
Yeah. The first one or the second one?
You mean the second? Well, he was on the second wife at this point. I have no idea. I literally have no idea which wife he's on now.
Like the fourth? And then they began playing strange music with disco lights.
Oh, that's they went back to Fanfare to the Common Man. I don't know why. This is Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Aren't you glad I'm here?
That's what you're here for, Pat.
That's exactly what I'm here for. Which was also the theme to CBS Sports Spectacular, so I can imagine where people got confused. Yeah, Flair is on his fifth marriage.
Okay, wait, there were the two that he had kids with, and there was Tiffany.
Tiffany, yes, the third wife, Tiffany, yes. I've already done all the Bill
and Ted. Who is the fourth wife?
The fourth wife was Jackie Beams. Jackie may have had some alcohol issues.
And I don't remember that woman.
And the fifth wife is Fifi. And the fifth wife is
Fifi the maid or something.
And Fifi the maid, yes.
Fifi. Right. That was close.
Yeah. All right, here we go. So we're going to have this match finally.
Were all of Terry Funk's tights kind of strange?
I think Terry Funk would wear tights until they wore out. So for all I know, those are the same tights he wore during the 70s.
Because he had the weird ones with the strangely angled stripes on them.
Yeah, those are the ones he'd wear in WCW. Yeah, like in 99 and 2000 in WCW, he wore those.
The man
kept the same gear forever. I mean, he's a wrestler.
And he fell out of the ring all by himself.
Yep.
That's what Terry Funk does. Weird. Like,
that's what Terry Funk does.
What was he doing there?
He was trying to take a swing at the fans without actually swinging at the fans. A fan would literally have to go and lean into him if he wanted to get hit. Okay. Okay, there we go. Oh, Flair's starting in with the chops already.
Was this before or after the angle with Elizabeth?
What?
Remember when Ric Flair was with Elizabeth in WCW?
Yeah, this is 7 years before that.
Or six, Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that really 1986? Or 1996?
No, that was really 96, yeah.
Because they had, like, the monogram towels.
Well, no, that one of the monogram towels, but that was started in WWF.
Oh.
They were doing that leading into WrestleMania 8, and then they dropped the whole thing because Savage and Elizabeth were having marital troubles, and they managed, and they got divorced later in 92.
All I remember is the monogram towels.
Yes.
Which was bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, so WCW continued the angle by bringing Elizabeth back, having her with Savage, and having her ditch Savage to go off with Flair.
Dear Lord.
And then having her ditch Flair to go to the NWO, and where the NWO used her to keep Savage in line until, well, anyway. Yeah, it's a little confusing, folks.
Yeah.
And then we had the bit where Savage had to bring three women to ringside with him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember Ric Flair crazy in the desert with his helicopters. But
well, yeah, that was something else. Yeah, amazing that didn't get better ratings. amazing that that's not what wrestling fans wanted to see for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you.
That kid, is that a dude? I've been thinking that was a woman the entire time.
I don't know.
The guy in the front row, I guess it's a dude.
The one with the belly shirt, yeah, that's a dude.
Yeah. No, it's the big fat guy in the, like,
I don't know.
White sleeves and the navy blue in front.
Yeah.
He's on the right hand side.
I don't know. Maybe,
yeah, that's a dude.
Know. Maybe that's gender fluid. I don't know.
I thought he was a woman for the entire last match. And
it could be a dude.
There's my cameraman again.
Yeah. He's a big fan of yours. He wants to be in every shot.
Yeah. He is almost succeeding, except he's not in this shot right now. We've got a Batman shirt.
Well, it's 1989. Of course there's a Batman shirt.
I know.
Michael Keaton's Batman. And in 2021... Michael Keaton is still going to be Batman. So. Time is a flex.
Wasn't Warren Beatty Dick Tracy right around this time?
Yes. Yes, he was. I saw that.
I seem to recall seeing that movie.
That was a date movie, yes.
I don't think it was a date movie for me. I think it was like 11.
But you were 10, so yeah.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been a date movie
for me. It was a family date.
Oh, Terry Funk has a microphone. Now, if somebody had used Bob Keller's microphone for that, Bob would be screaming at him so loud from the back you could hear. Don't do that with my microphone.
You cannot make that woman in the front row stand up there to watch that.
Nope. She paid for a chair. She's going to sit in that chair.
That's right.
New York has a flair for funk.
That is a strange, strange sign.
Yeah.
And there's my cameraman yet again. He doesn't have to use a lot of that, like, the wire that comes off the camera there. It's not a second person standing there giving him more rope.
Always a great spot when one of the wrestlers uses the camera cable to choke out the other wrestler.
At least Terry Funk is trying to pretend to hit him.
Oh no, Mick Foley gave away the secret to how Flair's punches, Terry Funk's punches look so good when he wanted them to.
Is that because he really punched people in the head?
Yes, he really punched people in the head, yes. And he goes back saying, Terry, you really punched me in the head. Oh, Cactus, all that time you thought I was really good, didn't you? Yeah.
This poor Ric Flair. There's probably some poor financial decisions came after this match.
Well, I think we can...
Oh, there's a microphone in the ring. I was like, where did that cord come from?
Right, the microphone. I think we can specify that this is the four wireless microphones. Yes. All right,
I thought they didn't have like a house mic. Or was it a house mic in 1989?
They didn't have wireless microphones in that building. I don't know why. I'm surprised they didn't have the Bob Barker Price is Right microphone and bring that out.
What a face slap in here.
Well, yeah. It's insulting, see? Oh, he's going to choke him. There we go.
Oh, no. Brian Danielson is getting an idea.
Yeah. There we go. All right, let's go outside the ring. Here we are. All right, Stonewash Lady is very happy about this.
At least she's got something to live for.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of them's got their back to the ring, and the other one does not.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Hey. Fortunately, he only shoved
the... Oh, that was a WCW man. I thought that was a crowd person. Nope.
Yep.
We got a cameraman in the shot again.
Yay. All right, now let's keep brawling outside the ring, because there's no rules. It's an I Quit match. Yep. Oh, my. Ooh. Oh, he's going after Gary Hart, too.
More ideas. Oh, Gary Hart's been shoved.
Yep. That's always a risk.
And there's my cameraman again.
Because you know Gary Hart's not going to bump for anybody, so I don't see why you... I don't see what you're going to gain from that. Oh, really? Rick's got the microphone.
They could not get a cordless mic.
No.
And there is my cameraman.
This is Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. It's a major college. They don't have a cordless mic. Say it. It. No, that's not. No, you make him say I quit. Oh, Gary Hart grabbed the microphone. Gary Hart took the microphone. That's genius. No cord, no microphone.
Is it a cane, or does he have the world's longest corded phone?
I don't know. I think it might be a cane.
And yet he hasn't hit anybody with it. And there's my cameraman again.
Yes. All right. Funk's got him.
They just realized the mic wasn't on.
Yep. All right. We're going to continue this. Oh, now it's cordless now, I guess. You remember your neck? Don't you want to quit before? So they did have a cordless mic this whole time. Well, see, don't you feel better now?
They just couldn't get it in the ring. And there's my cameraman again.
Yeah, he wants to be there. Ask him, ref. Huh.
Why doesn't Ric Flair just headbutt him in the balls?
I don't know. Maybe he's worried that Terry Funk isn't Manscaped. I don't know.
Okay, we know where Ric Flair does and does not tan.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's a mystery to anybody. Oh, he's going to pile drive him on the injured neck. And he does. He does not want to quit. Oh! Oh, no. Flair is in a great deal of danger.
Hurt Ric Flair's eye.
There we go. Bounce his head up the high rack.
I don't think that's making Flair want to quit.
Let's go, Rick. Let's go, Rick. Oh, going outside the ring again.
Oh, but it's the lady who does not get up from her chair.
Yep. There we go.
And there's my cameraman. At least there's his legs.
Okay, and up we go. Not that. I pile drove him right on the floor.
One of the gentlest pile drivers I have ever seen.
Well, I think that's true. Well, you want to protect the guy you're working with. Come on. Yeah. Oh, it's a hockey rink. Okay. That's why the boards are there. All right. That makes sense. I might have wanted to explain that, you know, the first time they were out there, but okay. All right. Okay.
Didn't they just put the particle board down?
Yeah. Yeah, they're covering that's the other. That's what they got the ice covered with.
Dear Lord.
Mm-hmm. Can't you tell it's particle board?
Well, yeah, now that it's all over everyone.
Yep. All right, we're back in the ring. Okay, they've survived the dangerous particle board.
Well, maybe not. Particle board does have, like, asbestos or some carcinogen in it.
That's true. Well, I you know, all the matches I've seen and heard from, I have never heard of an asbestos death match.
Don't give Vince Russo any ideas.
Oh, Vince Russo's not booking anywhere.
So. Somewhere, someone will bring him in just for one asbestos death match.
Oh, Pat, no.
It's going to be all your fault.
Sure it will. Russo never listens to me. Come on.
There's always a first time. Mm-hmm. Look at that jean jacket.
There we go.
Very 1989.
Yep. All right. Oh, he's got these are not the steel steps. This is a table. This is a genuine card table.
This is a table that's got a tablecloth that's way too big for it on it.
Oh, hi. Hey.
And there's my second cameraman.
All right, we got everybody here.
In the black shirt.
The whole gang's here to cover this match. You're not going to miss a moment.
It's Dillinger again. Just randomly wandering around ringside. Oh,
he goes into the middle.
Backfiring on.
Into the wooden table.
Dear sweet Terry Funk there.
Yes. Okay. Oh, she's up.
Is Terry going to try to...
Oh!
Take a swing at the male fan there that is not a woman.
Yeah. Oh. Look at Terry go. Get back, you kids.
There's a woman laughing at poor Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Ric Flair consider getting a manager so that somebody would be outside the ring to fight with Gary?
He's a good guy. Good guys don't need managers.
Oh, this was after the Four Horsemen?
Yes, it was. Yeah, well, see, the Four Horsemen sort of left. Arn and Tully are in WCW, are in WWF at this point. Although Arn's coming back. Barry Windham is also in WWF at this point. So,
Oh, poor Terry Funk.
Yeah. Oh, go! Oh, come on!
Did Terry Funk just realize his balls hurt?
Yeah, my balls.
That took a minute.
Oh, he knows how to sell.
So does Terry Funk.
Ah! Oh, Rick, Rick, come on, no. Because Rick's a gentleman, he goes for the forehead.
Yeah, we got a shot of Gary Hart at the back of his head.
All right.
That is what we all wanted to see at this point in the match. I'll tell you
something, he's not one of my favorite guys. Rick's coming back in the ring.
Right next to that doughy kid in the front row that it took me 20 minutes to figure out if it was a dude or a lady.
Okay. Here's the time. Oh, down we go. Oh, poor Terry Funk.
Well, at least Terry Funk is selling it.
Of course he is. He's Terry Funk.
I know. Children take lessons.
Yes.
I'm not sure who, but whoever is.
Oh, listening. There's plenty of guys who could take lessons.
Yeah, there's my cameraman again.
There he is. Well, nice. Spun all the way around. All right.
Jesus. Daniel Bryan is getting some terrible ideas from this man. There we go.
Oh, lots of people. I mean, geez, half of John Moxley's act is ripped off from Terry Funk. Come on.
I'm pretty sure he's in a place right now with no TVs or phones, though. So.
He might be, yeah.
Because no ability to watch these Terry Funk matches.
You've seen them already. Why would he need to watch them now? All right, there we go.
And they're back out on the particle board.
Right.
To get more little particle board pieces on themselves.
Oh, no, he's safe. You're going to drop him on the carpet, see? Oh, no. See, there you go. Terry's perfectly safe.
That was a long way to go for that.
Yep.
I feel like we could have done that in the ring.
Maybe.
I don't know what those boys were doing outside the ring there.
They were posing for the camera. And up and in. All right, so Flair has the advantage.
And we get a shot of Gary Hart's head.
Yeah.
And the mic, the cordless mic is in the ring again.
And we're ready. He's ready.
Are we doing the figure four?
Yes, of course.
Doing the figure four.
We're doing a figure. It's a Ric Flair match. We got to be doing the figure four. Nope, didn't work.
And random fans with a blue sign.
Right. Well, you don't want to be showing what's going on in the ring. That'll just ruin it. Oh, well, there you go.
That was a gentle whatever that was.
He just wanted to drop. He wanted to pull him out and drop him on the apron. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep, Funk's in trouble. Ooh.
And Daniel Bryan is getting bad ideas from this again.
There it is.
His name is Bryan Danielson. I'm having a Jim Ross moment here.
All right.
They're the Kelly's Pub people.
Yes. No, never.
This match can't be over with yet.
Never.
They have 9 minutes left.
All right. Never, darn it. He's got it locked in. Kill him. Okay. My leg. My leg hurts so bad. He quit.
Really?
Yes, he did. Ric Flair is your winner, and Gary Hart is very, very, very upset.
Strangely anticlimactic. Gary Hart throwing his coat.
What did you do? Why did you quit on me?
Does that mean Terry Funk has technically retired?
Oh, that was the idea.
of 45.
Well, that's not, that was not one of the stipulations of the match. But that is what happens here. Get out of the way. Okay, so he's going to shake hands.
Terry Funk's just going to argue with everybody.
Yeah, that's what he does.
I feel like there's going to be some slapping here.
All right, so they shook hands and they made up. It's all over. And Gary Hart with a cheap shot. Oh, how dare he? That's okay.
Poor Gary Hart is getting beaten up here.
I told you it wouldn't sell.
Poor Gary Hart's tie.
Oh, look, and here come the other members. The other members of Gary's stable. There's the Great Muta. There's Dragon Master.
Is Dragon Master the man in the suit?
Kendo Nagasaki, yes. Yes.
Okay, oh, Jim Ross, World War II was a long time ago, buddy.
Well, hey, that's true. Not if you live through it. I'm saying. Sting is there.
Sting does not have a shirt still.
Why would he? Why would he need a shirt?
Comes
for this?
Off, it ain't going back on.
Well, he probably just ripped it off again, and we didn't see it. Oh no!
So that was a very effective back of the knee shot from Gary Hart there.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Hey.
Well, if only Muta had brought some of his green mist crap with him.
I would think so.
He was like ill prepared here. Wait, is that Lex Luger again?
Oh yeah, Lex. Is that Lex? Yeah, Lex is gonna come out.
Take a chair away from someone.
Lex. Yep, Lex is gonna attack Sting with the chair. There we go.
Well, at least he didn't hit him in the butt this time.
Well, that's nice. All right, Flair and Luger. Up there's Muta. Oh.
How come the good guys don't have very many friends?
Well, because, well, it explains why the
bad guys have, like, an endless number of friends here.
I know.
Seems
odd.
Well,
the bad guys are better prepared. Because the good
guys... What about those women that Ric Flair was with earlier?
Well, they're not going to do that. That's not their job.
Man, there's my cameraman again.
There you go. Oh, and Terry Funk's getting beaten up, too. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. There we go. Luger.
Ross,
and
I don't think that crowd is in any danger of getting in that ring. So is this how the Clash of the Champions went off the air?
I'm guessing.
Does no one come out to, like, save the day?
Why would they do that?
I don't know, because the good guys are supposed to win, Pat.
No, they're not supposed to win. They're supposed to. You're supposed to get heat. You're supposed to get heat. You're supposed to get heat so they can. So people will want to see Flair and Sting get their revenge.
How will we ever pay off an angle, Pat? How?
It's a WCW. We don't pay. Well, they played off Flair and Funk.
A lot of plywood that had to go down on this floor here.
You're not lying.
Wait, are they going to walk up the steps?
Well, see, they settled the Flair and Funk deal. They're. Flair and Funk are not enemies anymore. Oh, no, those guys are too smart to go up the steps. Are you kidding?
So what is he doing now?
He's destroying the trophy.
Breaking Sting's trophy.
He's breaking Sting's trophy. That's right.
What a sore loser.
Well, see, that part you got. See?
Bad Lex Luger.
Bad Lex Luger is right.
Actually, didn't he technically beat Brian Pillman earlier?
Oh, yes, he did.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He did win. He won his match earlier.
Brian Pillman's off somewhere getting his concussion treated.
Right. That's why he's on that. That's why he didn't help.
I'm sure there were some other people on
that. Well, the
show.
Steiners and the Road Warriors already left and they went out to drink beer and take supplements together.
There had to be more people somewhere.
You think so?
Where was Harlem Heat?
It's 1989, so they're in Houston somewhere?
They existed.
Yeah. Fans, we're going to keep it right here so we can show you these guys who got hurt.
Who are laying in the ring.
Let's bring the paramedics out. If you want to know what's going on, call the 1-900 hotline. Let's see this again, folks.
Well, Jim Cornette can explain it to us.
Let's see this dastardly deed here. Oh, that's right. Yeah, why didn't the Dynamic Dudes come out and help Sting on Flair?
I'm sure there was someone in this promotion who could have. Maybe somebody on the mid card.
Yeah, why didn't, I don't know. Why didn't Steve Dr. Death Williams come out and save them?
Who else was in this company at this time?
Why didn't Tommy Wildfire Rich come out and save them?
We need a roster, Pat.
Eddie Gilbert. Why didn't Eddie? Oh, I know why. Well, Eddie Gilbert hated Flair, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Who on earth was this?
Let's show it again, in case you missed it. There's shots of Muda sort of kicking Ric Flair.
Okay.
Yeah, Muda sort of kicking Ric Flair in the boob there several times. Right in the man boob. And then Funk getting hit. Oh, we'll be back with closing comments. Okay. So they didn't plan ahead, really.
Apparently not.
They didn't have any plans for that final segment? It's like we're watching Raw.
To show us the snazzy graphic.
Oh,
Starcade had 2 R's in it.
Yes, that's, yeah.
Oh, and I have a commercial. Yay!
Okay, well, I'll pause this here so you can get caught up, man. Yeah.
John Travolta is pretending to be Santa Claus.
Oh, boy, that sounds great.
That's kind of weird.
Peacock, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Peacock.
Samuel L. Jackson did not get to be Santa Claus, and I don't know who this old lady in the commercial is. I feel like they could have gotten a recognizable old lady.
Nah.
I don't feel like that was Kelly Preston.
Not Kelly. Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. I'm fine. I'm just sitting right here. Well, let me know when you're back. I'm sitting right here watching the lights.
I know. Well, I got 23, 22, 21 more seconds of commercials.
What is it a commercial for?
I don't even know. I think it's something with like a serial killer that I don't know what it is.
Yeah, okay. John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson, a serial killer. It's not Pulp
Fiction. They're no longer in this. That was a Santa commercial.
Oh, okay.
This is some annoying show. Lost Symbol.
Lost Symbol. All right.
All right. Now we're back.
Okay. Thank goodness. We're back. And there's Jim Ross and Gordon Sully. Yeah. Terry Funk did what he said he was going to do.
A lady with some bodacious hair behind Jim Ross. There.
Yes, and some makeup too. Yeah.
Are we just going to get Jim Ross and Gordon Sully talking? This feels like a bit of a letdown.
Well, that's their comments. All right, we'll see you Friday night for the Power Hour. Thank you. Good night, everybody. That was it.
We had to wait for that.
Well, we got to get the credits in there. Aren't they going to roll credits?
Dear Lord, half the crowd has already left.
That's the smart half. Yeah.
The people who are beating traffic.
Yep. All the traffic. And Jim Hurd is your executive producer. Jim Ross. Keith Mitchell. Craig Leathers. Mark and Dan and Mark.
Who is Craig Leathers?
And Bruce and Sorelli. Howard. Howard was doing video. Tony and Al. Trish. Well, Trish is, that's a woman.
I wonder if it was Tim, Mike, Wes, Trish, Ricky, Steve, or Jackie that we were looking at there.
We don't know. Dwayne and Jeff handled the technical maintenance.
It was definitely not Dan Toth.
Or R.A. Roth. Or Tom Luttrell. Or the Uplink people. All right, there we go. Okay, and that's going to do it for Clash of Champions 9. Hooray! All right, so.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game. And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms, and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me, biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com.
The reaction to the show, I can tell you that Ric Flair and Terry Funk received 5 stars from the prestigious Wrestling Observer newsletter. That's right, 5 stars for that match.
It was before there was a 7-star rating, is that what you're saying?
Yes, it was, actually, yes. How'd you guess? That's true.
Starting to play Clash of the Champions.
Yeah, 10, I'll skip that one.
Which has a Western theme, Pat.
Yes. Clash of Champions 10 was the Texas shootout.
Someone just tried to shoot at Rick Steiner.
Well, that's not good. We don't approve of that, folks. Let me see if I can get into the what happened next here on the WCWM.
Oh, Sting was just shot.
You can stop it now. I mean,
I know. That is the strangest wrestling graphic I have ever seen.
Well, this is WCW, folks. I mean, there's a reason why it was number 2 for all that time. Before that clever Eric Bischoff came in and saved it.
Yeah.
All right, so back to 1989, a fine year.
Ooh, Jim Cornette is shooting people with a tennis racket here.
Well, he does that.
And he's wearing a red jacket and a green tie, so.
He does that, too.
Possibly where the Jim Cornette Christmas version action figure came from.
Yes. Jim Cornette, yes. If you like Jim Cornette, you probably should go back and watch the first hour of the show. Jim's all over it. Right. Well,
something had to be.
Yep. All the Cornette fans would, yes. I'm sure Jim has discussed everything else. I'm sure he's discussed this show at length somewhere.
Yeah.
And am I wrong?
Probably not.
I'm sure he discussed how stupid the idea for Starrcade 89 was, which is a round robin tournament with the 4 top wrestlers.
Oh my God. Terry Funk has a microphone. Is he like a ring announcer after he retired?
Oh, yeah. He became an announcer for a while.
Yep. This is genuinely bizarre.
Well, that was the plan. The plan was for Terry to come in for 6 months and then become an announcer. And he was a good announcer, but I don't remember why that didn't work out. I guess Terry got bored. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens. Okay, so the next major shows, they were in New Orleans on Friday the 17th, and no word what happened there. And then on Saturday the 18th, they went to St. Louis in the Kiel Auditorium, where it was, Steiner's defeat Doom by disqualification, and Ric Flair defeats the Great Muta by disqualification. Oh, WCW. And then on to Pittsburgh and Columbus. Yep. Okay, that was, not a whole lot going on there for WCW, just business as usual. All right, so what are we going to watch next? Well, that vote's already up at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter, PatMacNeill. And in the lead at the moment is the Nitro from November 20th, 1995, which is Sting and Hulk Hogan. So that is probably what we're going to watch, and it'll be fun. Well, I don't know who will have guest hosting, but hopefully it'll be somebody cool. So this is the point where I tell you that we can you can visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. Say hi to him. And Sarah is at Esoteric Sarah. And you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. And enjoy the Survivor Series. If you'd like to know more about Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, Sid Vicious, Dangerous Danny Spivey, or Teddy Long, go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go check out your local library app because they're all in books. Sarah.
Is it that time when I say the same way back time, same playback channel, Pat?
Yes. So you just said it?
I'm pretty sure I just did. Did you want me to say it again?
No, that's okay. But it was great having you on. Thank you very much. So tell people what you're doing and how to, and anything that they can, any product or service they can buy from you.
You can find me on a website called Society 6, and my account is Sarah Knight. It's all one word.
Yes.
And I draw little pictures of birds and flowers and trees and stuff, which is very, very wrestling fan oriented.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Check those out, kids.
That's all right. Birds, kids,
thank you. Well, thank you, Sarah. And until then, until we meet again, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.
Good night.